This NASCAR Talladega 2024 weekend betting recap edition of the NASCAR Gambling Podcast here on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100x in NBA, MLB, MMA, NHL, golf, NASCAR, F1, and more. Sign up today at UnderdogFantasy.com using promo code RACE, SGPN, to get a 100% deposit match.
Drivers, start your
strap in and pull those belts up tight as the Sports Gambling Podcast Network presents the NASCAR Gambling Podcast.
I'll wreck my mom to win a championship. I'll wreck your mom to win a championship.
With all the news and the best bets for your NASCAR weekend.
It refrains me from not beating the shit out of you right now because you ask me stupid questions. But since I'm on probation, I suppose that that's improper to say as well. If you could talk about racing things, we could talk about racing things.
Now, here are your hosts, Rod Villagomez and Cody Zeeb.
Welcome in to another episode of the NASCAR Gambling Podcast here on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. He's Cody Zeeb. I'm Rod Villagomez. Sorry, it's taking me a second to get back into the swing of the driver's seat. So I thought for sure I was going to get the pink slip after this weekend, after Cody went solo. But
on behalf of everyone, Rod, we're glad you're back. Thank you for returning to us.
Now, listen, man, you are holding your own, my friend. You pretty soon will have your own spinoff show, and I'll just be the guy while they go. Remember the show that actually started the whole thing, NASCAR Gambling
Podcast? I don't know about that. I think you're safe for a while.
Well, thank you for holding down the main chair on Friday, and, of course, F1 Capper, thank you to him for filling in as well to get you set for IndyCar, which I haven't finished that race yet. I'm still halfway through it, so hopefully it ends a little better than what it's going right now, because right now it's kind of like a meh type of a race, but yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much how the bets ended up, was being meh type of bets. So
I mean, what can you do? But tell you what, we're breaking down Talladega today, which is definitely not a meh kind of a race. There were two really good races. I know there's some folks in the Discord that were kind of voicing that it was a little bit boring, but not really.
I have a small rant to go on, Rod, here in a moment. So once we get past this next ad read, I would like to say a few words about that because I completely disagree. You're very wrong, and I have some thoughts. Hopefully you listen to the F1 Gaming Podcast this week, Rod, as well, where we cashed a 66-1 bet. Thank you, Fernando Alonso. Of course, Taylor Swift comes out with a song this week, talking about crashing like an Aston Martin or something. And then he goes out, sets the fastest lap 66-1 for us. We didn't even see it coming that way, but we did see the bet coming. So, again, nice quick plug for that show. If you've not listened, you should be.
Thank God for that strategy, though, because if he wouldn't have started on those soft tires, they wouldn't have thrown soft tires back on again to get that lap, because that was Max's until that happened. But this is not the F1 Gambling Podcast.
No, we'll recap that on the F1 show. But indeed. I just wanted to toss it out there because, hey, if you're listening to this and you're not listening to that, you're missing out.
And that's the thing, too. If there was tire strategy to be had in NASCAR, right, if we're talking like soft tires or medium tire compounds, like who knows what this Talladega race would have been like if somebody would have thrown on softs at the last pit stop to try to just gain a bunch of track position. But definitely a lot of fun. You know what? Let's just get this out of the way. Let's talk about our favorite main flagship show, the Sports Gambling Podcast. NFL Draft is this week, and the Sports Gambling Podcast proper, the flagship, the mothership, whatever, Sean Ryan, they've got you covered all week with the NFL Draft props, mock draft, and their NFL Draft watch party. You can turn in Thursday night on the Sports Gambling Podcast YouTube page. Hang out with the guys for the best NFL draft watch party out there. Cody, I'm not sure if you're doing a team. I think I'm going to pick up the Titans. The Niners are already taken, but I'm going to join them for the Titans. I love me some Titans.
I believe I got assigned the Ravens late in the draft. I've got I don't know what animal schedules a children's music program on the night of the NFL draft, but that's where I'll be at the start. But I will be back for the Ravens. I think they picked 30 or 30. Yeah, I think it's like 30. So I'll be there recapping that. Of course, Boston Capper gets the Patriots by default. So I'll take the Ravens.
I think this will be the second year in a row I get the Titans because nobody wants the Titans, but I'll take it. So tune in. Catch me and Cody talking football, which was our first love, but we're, you know, loving this one more nowadays because it's making us more money. So join us then. All right, Cody. So,
yeah.
Talladega, baby. There were, like I said, there were two really good races, but I believe you have a rant, and I'm going to sip my iced coffee while you rant.
I do. Cody checking in on the comments saying, well, Talladega that was definitely a Talladega race of all time. Lost money on underdogs, but you have fun when you go in expecting it. Have a great show, guys. Thank you, Cody. Okay, Rod. I would like to say it's okay to want change and to be vocal about change. I think that that is a great thing, and I think that that is fine. But if every single fucking week, all we're going to do is bitch and complain and fucking whine and, oh, this wasn't perfect and that wasn't perfect and I don't like this and this new car. Stop fucking watching. Go fucking watch something else. IndyCar race was on. Go turn that on. The same fucking time, too, because we're stupid and we run up at the same time. Go watch that. Go watch the UFL. Go watch golf. Go watch something else if you don't fucking like it. Like, I don't understand, Rod. We literally had a race where they were three wide almost the entire time. And I think Jeff Gluck tweeted this out. You remember not very long ago when we just had 170 laps of single file and then we got double file at the end and tried to finish the race? What do you want? You want three wide or you want single file? Like, you want to go back? Let's go back to the good old days, Rod. In the good old days in the 80s, that's where we had good races. Bill Elliott won by 44 seconds at Talladega in 1987, Rod. That's the good old days? Oh, you want the really good old days, right? Ned Jarrett won a race at Darlington, almost a mile and a half track, by 14 laps, Rod. Second place was 14 laps down. That's the kind of good racing you want? We got to fucking finish all the way, like, to the end. We were within 100 yards of cashing a 40-1 outright on top of a 16-1 top Ford bet that got wrecked, and we'll talk about it in a minute. Like, what do you fucking want from these guys? Well, they're running around half throttle. If TV wasn't telling you what the throttle was, would you fucking know what it was? No, you wouldn't. And who the fuck cares? If that's a strategy, that's a strategy. Guess what? That strategy wasn't going to work because the Toyota's pitted. Because you know what happens, Rod? We figure it out, right? And at Daytona, we notice, well, everybody's running half throttle. Okay, well, there's only so many Toyotas. So what can we do to make this better? Oh, we can fucking progress and we can find a way to beat them. You go fucking save your gas. We're going to get gas and we're going to be faster than you. Did it work? Actually, yes. It destroyed half the Toyotas in the process. But a fucking Toyota won the race. What do you want from these guys? Like, it's not going to be perfect. Just in Kyle Busch, well, you can't pass. Rod, the sixth most lead changes ever. What do you mean you can't fucking pass? BJ McLeod was leading the race. You can't pass in the fucking Richard Childress car? You can fucking pass, but you chose not to because you wanted to save gas and be a pussy in the back, and that's fine. If that's what you want, do that. But shut the fuck up about it because you can fucking pass. We saw the sixth most lead changes ever. Passing's not a fucking problem. Go up front. Okay, if you're going to save gas all the race and ride in the back, then yeah, you can't fucking pass. No shit. Don't fucking save gas. Get up front and do what the Toyotas did and be there at the end and win the race. Shut the fuck up and fuck it. Like, it's so fucking annoying. I understand wanting change and I understand not being happy with things. And yes, the short track package hasn't been great, but like, we got a pretty good fucking race. They were three wide the whole entire time. Strategy throughout the day, different things going on. We had plenty of passing. Wasn't a bunch of big spectacular wrecks. Maybe that's what everybody's mad about. I don't know. But it was a fine race. Like, if you don't like watching the racing, go do something else. Stop fucking bitching on Twitter the whole time. And commercials pay the fucking bills, by the way. Okay? So don't get on your podcast that literally has 18 commercials after the fact and bitch about the fucking commercials. Jeff Gluck, come on, bro. Have you ever watched your own podcast? They literally, in the middle, at least we pause, are talking. If you're watching their podcast, just ads pop up randomly 55,000 times the whole fucking time. Shut the fuck up, dude. Commercials pay the fucking bills. Who, Rod, are you so bored and have nothing else to do that you're just sitting there staring at the TV when commercials are on? I don't even notice when the commercials are on because I'm flipping over to the Indy race or looking at the other screen, paying attention to that, or checking the Discord or looking at my DraftKings lineup. Like, there's a million other fucking things around. Stop fucking complaining all the fucking time. If you don't like it, go do something else. Nobody's making you fucking do this. All right, that's my rant. Sorry, I wanted to get it off my chest, but like, come on, like everybody just fucking everything I see on Twitter, just whining and complaining and bitching. Stop fucking watching. If you don't, and if you didn't bet on this race, shame on you, because it was a hell of a sweat. We cashed some bets, and you should be ashamed of yourself to call yourself a NASCAR bettor.
Lots of folks in the chat right there with you, buddy. And listen, honestly, I can't say it any more eloquently than you. I don't know what anybody wants anymore. And honestly, if people don't like banter, they can flip away from it. If people don't like three wide racing, they can flip away from it. It just anymore, there are way too many options in this world for you to sit and complain about one thing. I mean, go find another thing. Like that's honestly if it's not for you anymore.
Criticism is fine. Like, hey, this didn't work. We didn't like this. Or, hey, this maybe we can do something to change. But when it's every single week of, oh, well, Texas, we didn't like this. And, oh, well, this. And, oh, well, Bristol, well, they didn't get the tires right. And like, just fucking sit back and enjoy the race. Like, what do you want them? You want them to bring a fucking pony out there and, trot it behind the car to entertain you with a circus clown or what? Like, it's a fucking race. It was a good race. If you had some bets, you sweated that shit all the way till the fucking end. And after the end, when they're figuring out the order, man, just relax and enjoy it.
Yeah. Again, I don't know that people know what they want anymore in this world. I think there's
everybody's just trying to find a reason to complain.
Yeah. But there's too many options in this world anymore for people to know exactly what they want. So I know what I want. I want to talk some bets with you, buddy, because this was, like I said, we'll break down these races and some of the bets that that much closer and we would have had
we were really close to a few bets. I love Jeff Gluck. I think Jeff Gluck's great. I love their podcast. I think it's great, but I think he was very wrong this week with his commercial thing. I get maybe you don't pick 5 minutes left in this or 5 laps left in the stage to do the commercials. There's some things Fox doesn't do correctly. I get it, but come on. Like that's not what, be happy. The sport's making money. They just signed a huge deal. That's what it. Find something else to do during the commercials. Not that fucking hard. Use the fucking NASCAR app and watch the in-car cameras. Then there's not even a commercial.
Or get up and acknowledge that you have a family. I mean, that's always a good thing to do too.
Yeah, shit. Half the time I'm listening to the race more than watching it because I'm doing other things with the family or the kid or whatever. So,
All right. Let's break down the bets for these races. But first, I want to tell you about Underdog Fantasy. Hey, we had some hits. We had some misses on Underdog this weekend because, of course, that's exactly what happens at Talladega. But I think we pretty much had the whole thing nailed. So it was a lot of fun. And I hope you were playing along with us because Underdog Fantasy is definitely the easiest place to play fantasy sports. They got fantasy pick-ems just like we do in racing. Plus, the NBA playoffs are here. And our sponsor, Underdog, wants to make it hot and wants to make it a lot more interesting. So play that pick-em game. Make your entry in basketball, or you can mix between basketball and racing and baseball and whatever else is out there. You can definitely cross platforms. For NASCAR and F1, you know they don't have the spicy chilies, but on some of these other sports, if you look for that spicy chili, you can raise that multiplier up, shoot it through the roof, get it to 100x on your entry. Underdog's also available in 30 states, including my home state of California, your home state of Texas maybe, and even Canada, your home country of Canada. We love Underdog. Again, we've given out all of our favorite plays for the weekend. We're going to continue to do so. So stay tuned for our episode later in the week where we'll give you all of our favorite ones. Plus, new customers get a pick 'em special in the lobby when you sign up. So pull up Underdog Fantasy and just make it happen for yourself. Underdog will also be running a ton of different promos, bonus cash, airdrops, special giveaways, and more throughout the NBA playoffs. So make sure to follow Underdog Picks on Twitter and keep an eye out. Underdog is available in 30 states, including California, Texas, and Canada. They've also just launched Champions, their player versus player format in Florida. So make sure you sign up with our promo code RACESGPN. Underdog is going to double your first deposit up to $100. That's Underdog Fantasy promo code RACESGPN.
All right, Rod, ready to get into the bets?
I am, Cody. Which one do you want to start with? You want to start with Cup?
Got that out of the way.
I know, right?
Let's start with Cup since that's freshest in our mind.
All right, perfect.
And I have it pulled up in front of me. Rod, the NASCAR Gambling Bible has one commandment. The commandment is fade Kyle Larson. I said on the show, it might be in overtime. It might be on the last lap. It might be coming to the checkered flag. It was coming to the checkered flag, but hey, it got him. And he did not have a very good finish. He ended up in 21st place, which, again, is all you need him to do. So we'll just get into all this here right at the start. I had him over 11.5 on Caesars. That shifted during the show to 12.5. I said, still take that. Again, you got to get those bets in early. Caesars doesn't leave that speakeasy up very long. Those were easy cashes, minus 115, minus 110. Also had William Byron over him, minus 130. Had Ryan Blaney, rather, over him at minus 120. The Blaney one was close. Blaney comes in home in 20th, one spot ahead of him in the chaos, and William Byron 7th. So both of those cashed, and his over 11.5 cashed. So paid Kyle Larson again. Once again, profitable. Now we did see someone who's not a super speedway guy in general win this race. Could that be Kyle Larson someday? Maybe. But Rod, we're going to fade him every single time. It worked. Also had Eric Jones under 17.5. I think that was looking really good, obviously, through majority of the race until he ended up in the wall, which, by the way, Rod, story to keep an eye on, obviously, if you had not seen. He was released from the care center. We saw the interview on TV. He went back to the care center. And then they took him to the hospital. So Corey Heim is the reserve driver for Legacy Motor Club. Potentially could see him. Unfortunately, also in the 43 car, we saw Eric Almirola at Kansas a couple of years ago with a wreck that looked very similar, break his back. Hopefully Eric's fine and we'll be able to race at Dover this weekend. But we'll talk about it more, obviously, if it ends up being the case. But of note that Corey Heim is the reserve driver for them.
Yeah, and as to the Kyle Larson point, you said it too. I mean, he's going to look like he's going to finally have a good finish. He's going to look well. He's going to run in the front. He's going to be a contender somewhere along the line. And then the piano falls. So a la Ty Majeski is Kyle Larson. It doesn't matter if it's the last 200 feet or the first 200 feet. The result is the same.
He just can't make it through, Rod. It's going to catch up with him, and it did again.
Speaking of catching up with him, Kyle Busch, another one of those guys where the beginning of the day, this bet was, I had him over 12 and a half, right? His finishing position over 12 and a half on the Caesar Speakeasy. And this one, he started fourth. And you're thinking to yourself, oh man, Kyle Busch actually found himself a fast ride around this racetrack, right? And he was running around and he was doing well and he was kind of in the lead pack. And then he'd fall back a little bit. And then all of a sudden he just, I'm Kyle Busch. I can't do this season. So Kyle Busch ends up 27th. He was still running, but ends up in 27th place in a Cody, in a race that didn't have a whole lot of cautions in it. For Kyle Busch to start fourth and finish 27th, not get caught up in a wreck. I got to tell you, this is starting to look like Kyle Busch is taking a nosedive this season. So cash that bet.
Well, you can't pass, Rod. BJ McLeod can in the 78, but Kyle Busch can in the 8 car. So I don't know. That might be an RCR problem, but they should probably look into that.
Look, when you've got guys in the front that you don't ever – like that top 10 board at one point was like, who on God's green earth are these guys? Like, what are you doing? Yes. And so, yeah, that – Kyle, that's not going to fly, bud.
I mean, and I get it. I'm not in the car, and I've never been in the car, and so I don't have that angle, and I'm sure it's not super easy, but you can't tell me there's that many lead changes if you can't pass. It's not impossible to pass. Now, your strategy might not have allowed you to pass, which sounds like a you problem more than, get up there, and I know nobody wanted to lead, right? And we see this at the Indy 500 every year. Like, it's not just a NASCAR thing. You don't, nobody wants to lead the Indy 500. They want to be second place because you save more fuel that way. So get up to second place then. BJ McLeod can do it. If BJ McLeod can do it, Kyle Busch, I got some faith in you, buddy. But luckily, you did cash this one. Speaking of BJ McLeod, Rod, I had his top 10 at 14-1. That was looking good until he ran out of gas, which I guess proves the point of you run out of gas if you do that fast. But hey, that's how it goes. So didn't hit that one, unfortunately. I had Corey LaJoy top 5. 6-1 and top 10 at 3-1. Not quite enough chaos. And he wasn't, again, Talladega is the worst of his super speedways. Wasn't really in the mix. He did have an interesting way to finish the race, riding on his side, across the start finish line on the wall there, but ends up in 18th. So doesn't cash either of those. But much like David here in the chat, and who else was it? Robert as well. Fast Pasta paid off for us. Anthony Alfredo, top 10, 14-1, Rod. Can you imagine not betting on this race and not having an Anthony Alfredo top 10 at the end of this as you're sweating the Michael McDowell 40-1 and 16-1? I don't know. I don't get it, but it did cash. Anthony Alfredo, look, be there at the end and survive. That is why you take these bets. That's what happened. And he cashed the top 10 for us at 14-1, which is, kind of saves the rest of the card pretty much.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. Cause that's, and to be honest with you, it was like Alfredo for the whole day, pretty much. I mean, there was a spurts where he was around the top 15, but he had no business being in the top 10 at the end of the race. He just wanted to reward all you guys who took him at 14-1 to get in there. So, and that's what it takes.
That was the goal. And shit, yep. He finished third in the Xfinity race. So he had a really good weekend. Mm-hmm. And again, we went into this with the mindset of you're going to lose it all, Rod, right? So if we cash a 14-1, well, we didn't lose it all, did we?
No, we did not. All right. I had both John Hunter Nemechek and Josh Berry in the top 10. Both of these guys were in the top 10. Just neither one, or they weren't there together. Like, they were there separately. In fact, John Hunter even led 20 laps in this race, but they were never in the same top 10 at the same time. So, unfortunately, this had no chance of cashing whatsoever. I mean, both of them ran kind of a strong race. Poor John Hunter, though, at the end when the Toyotas decided they wanted to play bumper cars instead of race at Talladega. That ruined his day, too.
That might have been John Hunter's fault, I think. But
could have been. But
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, but that's how it goes. Again, a 14-1. I think you got good odds. So, Barry, one of three full-time guys that doesn't have a top 10 on the season, Rod.
I saw that.
That's of note as we continue to go forward. It's Barry. It's, who is it? Zane Smith and Justin Haley.
Justin Haley, yep.
Not good company for an SHR car, but, nope. That is how it goes. Speaking of top Toyota, Rod, you place these bets as a small group bet because, well, maybe all three Toyotas will take each other out, and four or five of them will take each other out at the same time, and you'll have the couple that are remaining. Fortunately, it didn't work out this way this time, but it proves the point of, hey, any of these Toyotas can do it. I mean, Reddick, one of the least likely guys to do it, right? He ends up winning the race. So, had Jones top Toyota 850, and John Hunter at 25-1. You just said it. He led, 24 laps or something, 26 laps, something like that. So, he had a solid day, was up front for a lot of the day. Look, Toyota was looking pretty good there with that strategy. I think that was going to pan out for them. Obviously, you end up with the incident there, so things don't quite work out. But I think this is a market that you continue to attack, especially on super speedways, just because it's just a large group. And again, to the point of only three Toyotas finished this race. So, yes, you had to be first in this particular race. But if three Toyotas get to the end, you might have only had to have been 22nd like Ty Gibbs was, and you could have been the top Toyota. Depending on how things shook out in that final wreck. And that was the goal. So again, doesn't cash, but the thought's right. The process was right. And yeah, I think John Hunter proved throughout the day he was pretty good. Eric didn't look as good as you had hoped, but you'd hoped maybe at the end, his previous history here would have showed through and didn't get to that point to have the chance.
Yes, indeed. But still, again, you take these because exactly that could happen. So speaking of exactly that could happen, I had both Brad Keselowski and Denny Hamlin inside the top five at the end of this race. If you would have told me that the one that held up this end of the bargain was Brad Keselowski and that Denny Hamlin would be wrecked out in that Toyota disaster, I'd tell you were crazy. However, that's exactly how it happened. Brad Keselowski finishes the race in second place. Denny Hamlin, unfortunately, finished it watching from the winner's circle, but watching his driver, his 2311 driver, as the guy taking home the trophy. But you know what? Look, if Denny Hamlin would not have wrecked out, those Toyotas would have been in the top five for sure. Now, would Brad Keselowski have been in the top five? I don't know. But he was running really well at the end. So
I mean, man, he was going to have himself in position one way or another. Mm-hmm. And he could have easily been the McDowell there where, he's leading on the last lap and ends up in whatever, 30th place or wherever McDowell ends up finishing. But yeah, that obviously can kind of go both ways.
Yeah, so definitely something to look out for. Something else to look out for, if you are thinking of entering the Circa Survivor or Circa Millions contest and you don't live in Nevada, don't worry about it. It's very easy to hire a proxy to submit the picks. Boy, this is like Uber for gambling. I love it. Just hire yourself an Uber, a gambler Uber, and he can do it for you. But no problem. Again, it's easy to hire a proxy to submit the picks for you each week for your chance to win millions. Williams? You can win Williams, the whole racing team from F1, but you can win millions. Sign up in Las Vegas and then just submit your picks to your proxy. We've partnered up with the gold standard of proxies over at footballcontestproxy.com. Plus, if you use the promo code SGP at checkout, you'll save $50 off the proxy fees. That's right. Just go to footballcontestproxy.com. That's footballcontestproxy.com, promo code SGP to get $50 off. All right, so my next bet, I'll just jump into mine real quick. I had the winning car number as odd. Cody, what number is 45? Is it even or odd?
Odd.
Okay, good. I won. Yeah. And honestly, I told you, I was just flipping. I was rolling the dice. There's a lot more heavy hitters. I didn't think it was going to be Reddick, but definitely glad that it hit. So winning car number odd. My winning car number streak continues.
And again, that's why you listen to Rod on the winning car numbers, except for that one example where I disagreed with him. But for the most part, you listen to Rod on the winners. And again, somebody mentioned this in the Discord too. Like, what a great bet, because it gave you action all the way until the end. And that's why you take that type of bet, especially on a super speedway. You know, next week at Dover, you might not have that, because it might be three even numbered cars, you know, dominating the race at the end. And we'll have to find something else to bitch about after that race. But you know, at a super speedway, you've got it till the end. Reddick was fifth place, 100 yards from the start finish line, Rod, and he wins the race. So great call by you. Top Chevrolet. I had Corey LaJoy again, talked about him. I don't think this really had a chance to cash, unfortunately, today. Noah Gragson, 16-1. Man, Noah looked freaking good. I'm going to continue to bet on this guy. And I think somebody had mentioned in the chat that they had a bet on him. Yeah, King said he won money off Noah, top 10. Great bet there. Yeah, third place he comes home. I mean, he was pushing Keselowski all damn the whole second half of that race. So, but yeah, great run by him. Obviously, Keselowski finishes second, Gragson third, so this doesn't cash. But at 16-1, Rod, again, this is why you take those bets, because that close. Speaking of that close, you want to get a little closer? Michael McDowell, top four, 16-1. And we had him outright at 40-1. You can't ask for anything more. He led, what, the last 30-some laps? Coming down to the end, look, Rod, you make that first block going up. If he wouldn't have bounced it off the wall, it would have been more ideal, but you can't come back down six lanes of traffic to throw that second block. Now it's a split-second decision he's making in the moment of, you know, shitting his pants because he's about to win a race. I get it. Well, I don't get it, but I can imagine, right? I'm that way in iRacing when I'm about to win a Talladega, so I understand that part of it, but yeah, obviously should not have done that. Should have probably just settled for second place, but wasn't how it went, but that close. I mean, he was there to cash this and to cash the outright at 40-1. So definitely plays that would do again. And I said on the show this week, Rod, don't forget he's a good super speedway guy. He reminded us of that this weekend. So great play. Obviously, you know, just looking at the results, he ends up in 31st. But not indicative of where he was 100 yards before the finish line.
or the laps preceding that 100 yards before that. So definitely. And look at it. If that wreck hadn't brought out the fourth caution of the day, we'd have had this next bet cleared by a million. I had the total cautions under 6.5. Cody, this was not even a sweat all day. And even at the very end of it, I was like, we could still spare a couple more cautions in this
one. After the Xfinity race where you get, you know, what do we go, three overtimes in that one? That's where you're thinking you're going to lose this, right? If they wreck before they take the white flag. But, man, they made it. I mean, they made it all the way back to the front stretch, like to the end of this. So, yeah, this was a great call by you. Again, the numbers showed it. I didn't think it would go this way just because you prep for chaos. But we got chaos, but just in less cautions.
Indeed. Which led us to our outrights. Well, look, first of all, I want to say the under cautions, though, like, when it was strung out and when it was the first stage was almost all, in fact, it was all green. There was no cautions in the first two, well, stage and a half, I think, is really what it ended up being.
Yeah.
So
I was trying to remember. Yeah, I knew we were in the clear. First caution, but yeah, it was, yeah, there was nothing. I mean, it was going to come down to, do we end up with three or four overtimes that would have screwed you? But
yep.
We don't get there, obviously. So outrights, Rod, Chase Elliott at 12-1. You know, he was up there in the mix kind of at points. Again, Rod, the reason that you shotgun blast these outrights, Tyler Reddick was fifth place 100 yards. But that's why I say it over and over and over all week. You just got to be there at the end, because you literally just got to be there at the end. That's how it works. So Chase Elliott 12-1 doesn't cash. Eric Jones at 30-1 again. We talked about him earlier. You know, with his track history, I would place this again. McDowell 40-1, best bet of the weekend probably right there. LaJoy at 60-1 is an auto bet for me. Didn't show up this time. I'll be back on him when we get back to Daytona. John Hunter Nemechek, 80-1. I mean, obviously his mistake is what cost the Toyotas, I think, there at the end. But, man, he was up front for 20-some laps throughout the day. Looked good when he was leading the pack. So I would place this again at 80-1. I gave out the bonus top 10 of SVG, Eric, and BJ. Really, if you'd have told me this beforehand, Eric would be the weakest link of this from the looks. I would have been surprised. Obviously, BJ was up there, then has the fuel issue and everything. SVG had his moments where he looked good. A couple moments where he got pretty squirrely. I was surprised we didn't have a big one earlier. I think it was him and Priest maybe that kind of touched at one point. It was like, oh, and then they saved it and everybody was good. And then BJ Eric Jones, obviously, we already talked about him. So those didn't cash. But again, this, you approach this a certain way, and this is how it goes.
Well, I had only one in the chamber, and that was Ryan Blaney. And boy, I forgot they even led a lap in this one. He actually did lead a lap, but he was not
that must
anywhere.
Have been when they were.
It was lap like 65, pitting. 66. Like that was, you know, in that cycle. But yeah, so Ryan Blaney, he didn't know where to be. He started right one spot above where he finished right one spot right where he started. Finished 20th, started 21st, and honestly, him and Kyle Busch led a couple of laps in that 60s span. And I mean, look, Kyle Busch was complaining and he led a couple laps in this one. Why couldn't he stay up front, Kyle? Why?
You were able to pass to get up there, right? CT checking in. I think you might have been late to the show. F my commandment. Larson got taken out once again. Of course, my boy Corey was nearby. Just to recap, Larson over 11.5, Larson over 12.5, Byron over Larson, Blaney over Larson, all hit thanks to the commandment. I don't make the rules. I just read the Bible, Chris, so blame it on the Bible.
And honestly, too, how could you be mad about making money? I mean, I know we love us some Kyle Larson, but like, how can you be mad when they all cash? Like,
dude, he's probably going to lead every lap and win next week at Dover.
Like, he will.
That's just how it goes. But
Channer's in there, Jimmy Johnson.
He's not good at super speedways, so
nope.
It's a thing, and it will continue to be a thing until it's not a thing, which might not ever happen.
All right, let's move our attention to the Xfinity race. This one was fun. This one had a lot of moments in it. This one had even more of a top 10 board that had you going, what the hell are we watching right now?
Oh, Rod, the top 10 board at one point in this Xfinity series race.
Well, at the end of just, this one now, right? I mean, if you just...
Well, even at the end of the day, I mean... Insane what the board looked like.
Yep. Jesse Love gets his very first career win. We're going to be watching that kid. I mean, we've already been on the Love train, right? We've definitely been on the Love train since the beginning of the season. So if anybody else is going to come on and jump on with us, we're good. But we've been leading that train for a while now. But Jesse Love wins this one. Had the best car all day long. I don't even want to hear anything else about it. Led the most laps. Oh, no, he didn't. Austin Hill led the most laps. But still. Both of those guys were killing it. You know what I'm saying? Like all day long. So let's get into the bets, Cody. There was a lot of good ones in this one.
Yeah, a lot of good bets. I started off with SVG, top five. Again, just to speak to the top five, like you got Love, Herbst, Alfredo, Honeyman, Poole. Poole almost won this race. Yeah, Creed in there, and then Baccarella, DiBenedetto, Burton, Custer. I mean, a lot of names up here, Rod, that – you know, that's why you, again, sprinkle on different things. And the sweat of these bets is worth everything about. I mean, sweating Michael McDowell on that last lap, worth the entire betting weekend. So, but had SVG. He was running pretty good. 22nd is where he ends up finishing. Had his kind of, you know, times where he looked good. I think he ended up with damage at one point. I think that kind of slowed down his day. But, yeah, this one didn't cash. But, again, I think... You know, for most of the race, and again, the results really thrown all over the place by, I think we went to 3 overtimes, wasn't it? So, you know, but he was consistently just running around and doing his thing, and they brought him up multiple times on the broadcast. You love to see that when you have these types of bets. So, doesn't hit, but I think it wasn't a bad bet.
Now, I don't think Jordan Anderson as a top 5 car was a bad bet either. At the beginning of the race, you think to yourself, Jordan Anderson, man, 32nd. He's starting 32nd. How the hell is he getting himself a top 5 finish? Well, because Dega, that's why. And Jordan Anderson actually was a leader at one point in this race as well. He spent so much time in that third line, in the bottom line, the very inside line. He spent a lot of time down there jockeying for position back and forth. Then he moved up into the inside, or the second line, because there's a lot of 3-wide racing in this one too. And you know, kept making a way forward, just kept going forward. And then at one point he'd be in the top 5, then one point he'd be out of the top 5. But I got to tell you right now, I'm so impressed. Like, I'm so impressed with the way that guy runs. That team is so small, and he was helping out his other car as well, to try to make some hay in the race too. So Look, all I'm saying is that this was a fantastic bet. I feel like it should have won. Obviously, he got wrecked in that in one of the – I can't remember exactly which one it was, but yeah, there
one
was
of,
so
one
many.
Of the many wrecks, but
– yeah. Oh, it was the big – it was the big one. He got taken out in the big one, I think. The biggest one. Of
yeah, he looked – he looked really good, though, so I think this is a good bet. Jeffrey Earnhardt, Rod, top Toyota, top five, top ten. Man, ends up with an engine issue. So I don't know. I don't feel like we really got a full chance to see it. I mean, he was out of the race fairly early. I mean, you had that one car accident with Allgaier where he wrecked out, and then Earnhardt was the next one out. So, I mean, didn't qualify well, but again, that doesn't – it means nothing, doesn't mean anything. And just I don't know. I felt like we didn't really get to fully live this one out.
No, and sad. I mean, it's what could have been in this instant with Jeffrey Earnhardt. Although you want to talk about heartbreak and what could have been, how about this next bet? I had Haley Deegan as a top 10 car.
This has got to be the worst beat of the week. I mean, this might be worse than Michael McDowell beat of not winning the race.
I had Haley Deegan top 10 at plus 750. Haley Deegan was dead last as far as the cars that were running for, I would say, all but two laps of this race, in which all of a sudden, because the world collapsed in front of her, she was at the right place, slid through, by the way. She almost got collected in one of those wrecks.
Yes.
And found herself if in the front row or in the second row.
She was third place. I took a screenshot of the overtime because I was just shocked to see the names that were up here. I mean, Honeyman was second, Deegan was third, Gase, Poole, Baccarella, Ellis, Balicki, and Mason Massey all were in the top 10 on that overtime restart. I was like, wow, what a list of names here.
That's a stack,
third place,
that's a stack the back issue right there. But she started third,
exactly.
And then nobody went with her. Nobody went with her. She pulled out a line.
Yeah, Herbst left her high and dry. And,
so
and then she
pissed
just,
off.
Yeah, she dropped like she put out a parachute. And, man, what a great bet, though. Again, top 10 odds. We don't ever see that for Xfinity. It was great to get in on them. Huge line on Deegan here at 750.
12.
And, again, we just listed all these names that were in top 10 at the end. Like, that's why you take these bets. So, sad it doesn't hit, Rod. A bet that did hit, though, top finishing Chevrolet, Jesse Love. I took him at plus 550. Also took Kligerman at 7-1. Kligerman had his chances up there, right? Got destroyed in one of those big wrecks in overtime. But, man, I thought for a minute he might get the win. But Jesse Love does do it. Again, we don't have a bunch of data, a bunch of races to look at. He's a young guy, but he passed the eye test for us. He'd been doing well on super speedways. It was questionable on the fuel getting to the end, but made it last this time, unlike Atlanta, and didn't have his outright, but plus 550 to be the top finishing Chevy. He does it by winning, of course, but hey, it pays out nicely, and we'll take it.
I feel like we didn't take the outright because the odds weren't right for him.
I feel like he was pretty low on the odds, which again, like on a super speedway, you know, Austin Hill leads all this race, and then everybody's like, oh, he screwed my underdog card, and it's like, he's a 4.5. Like, you can't take better than a 4.5 on a super speedway because you know it's going to happen, and that's why you can't bet him at plus 450 either. But yeah, Love was not super favorable odds, I don't think.
No, he was not. Speaking of somebody, another heartbreak, I had Cole Custer as the top Ford. Cole Custer could have been the top Ford. Cole Custer was running as one of the top Fords for a very long time. But Riley Herbst, look, Cole put himself in the wrong place at the wrong time at this instance. He was the top Ford. Him and Herbst were battling it out for it. And at the end of the day, it was Herbst. Then it was DiBenedetto as the next Ford down the line. Then it was Cole Custer. So not too far off. Cole even led four laps in this race, which, you know, I'm a little pissed off at Cole because I think he played this race completely wrong. He had the opportunity to maybe even win if he would have just, you know, done the right things at the right times. But yeah, he didn't pull the right levers at the right time to keep himself in front. And Herbst didn't do himself any favor or Cole any favors either, though, by pulling away from him at certain points in it. So the Fords weren't playing together very nicely.
Yeah, they didn't work super well together, especially there at the end. So unfortunate there. AJ Allmendinger, top five, plus 200. He got caught up in one of those early wrecks, got a ton of damage. That was kind of out the window at that point. He did an okay job of just hanging on and ended up 19th. So, I mean, not the greatest day for him. But, again, you just didn't really get to see it. Matt DiBenedetto, though, top 10, plus 120. This one did cash, Rod. Veteran super speedway racer. finds his way to be there at the end. He was there at the end, eighth place finish, so did cash the top 10 on him.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is my apology letter. I apologize for ever doubting Matt DiBenedetto. I will be purchasing his bumper sticker, and I will be wearing it proudly on my forehead so that everybody knows that I apologize profusely for betting against Matt DiBenedetto. So sorry, Matty B or Matty D. We're all good.
Well, I was gonna say apology accepted until you called him Matty B. Now you're gonna have to work harder to earn that apology.
You think he cares? I'm still going to have a beer with him. I'm all good with that. All right.
I don't know if he'd be the best guy to have a beer with, to be honest.
I don't know. We'll find out. I'll send pictures. All right. Chandler Smith, top three car, plus 450. Chandler Smith, once upon a time in several points of this races, was a top three car until he wasn't. And really, again, because Dega. It just, he did not have the right partners at the right time. He slid all the way back. So he started seventh, and he slid all the way back to 25th in this race. Led three laps.
Again. I mean, he was up front the whole race. He was top six in both stages, like hanging out up front. But again, got to be there at the end, and he didn't get to the end, Rod.
Nope, he did not. So,
speaking of not getting to the end, how heartbreaking was this? Also, the heart was somewhat repaired by seeing him win $100,000, which he deserves more than anyone else and needed more than anyone else. But Ryan Sieg, the car lift rod, oh my God, he was bad fast. He was looking good. He was up front. And then did we ever find out, did he run out of fuel or had a fuel pressure issue or something?
Something like
slides that. Up, hits the wall. And then I don't remember what happened, but he got out of the groove, hit the wall. That's where he bumped it. Or
he got
or
a flat tire.
Else.
He got a flat tire.
That's what really cost him. I was hoping it was came back to life just a little bit as we got those. If he'd got the lucky dog after that first overtime caution, we might have been able to cash at least the top 10 or something in this. But I would and will. If you've not listened to the show long, I've bet on Ryan Sieg, basically the car lift, every single super speedway. He's made me a ton of money. So you win some, you lose some. That's how it goes. He proved yet again, I mean, all the way up to his winning odds of 40-1, he was worth these bets. They don't cash, but again, they were the correct one to do it. So, yeah, unfortunately doesn't cash, but I was happy to see him win the 40 or the 100 grand at the end of the day. And then Rod, next week is another Dash for Cash race. Anthony Alfredo and Leland Honeyman are two of the Dash for Cash drivers. They're going to be rooting for Love and Herbst to have some issues probably in that race. But hey, good to see these cars, running for the extra money, and it means a lot to the Sieg team. Tribal Life checking in. Feels like cattle being led over here to YouTube from Facebook. I don't know what Facebook's deal is, but they're not letting us live stream at the moment. So I'm going to have to troubleshoot that. It wasn't working on Friday either. So I don't know what the deal is there, but thanks for joining us over on YouTube. We appreciate it.
Yeah, I don't know. Facebook's doing that thing again where the algorithms are like, nope, we want to show you all useless videos and not the ones you came here to see. So yeah,
we want to lead you away from our platform instead of letting you watch on our platform. That makes a lot of sense.
That's fine. Man, you want to talk about heartbreak, though, for AJ Allmendinger, man. He had that $100,000 until the very, very end. Like, it was looking good for him having that dash for cash. It was like Ryan Sieg.
You don't need $100,000. No. He's fine.
But you got to think about it. Like, Ryan Sieg goes down. He's like, oh, there goes my $100,000. And then all of a sudden, he goes, oh, there goes my $100,000.
He just got it back from him at the end. But indeed. I was so happy for Sieg. Again, as a longtime serial bettor of Ryan Sieg on Super Speedways, it was so good to see him get that money.
Indeed. Cody, what car number is Austin Hill?
Austin Hill's number 21, I believe.
It doesn't matter what car number Austin Hill is, because I told you that the winning car number was going to be even at plus money. I said to you, Cody, I don't care what car number Austin Hill is, because the winner of this race will drive an even number car. The winner of this race drove an even numbered car. I don't care how many were in there.
The top six were all even.
Oh, there it is. I thought you were counting odd numbers in the top 10. I was like, I don't care.
No, I was counting all the even numbers.
Yeah. So six of the 10 were even numbers. We had a 6 out of 10, 60% chance of cashing this bet. And thankfully it did happen. Jesse Love crosses it. Even Parker Kligerman, right? 48.
It was 8 out of 10.
Oh, shit.
If you want to go all the way through the top 10. I'm just saying the top six were all even numbers.
Oh,
so.
See?
Yeah, heavy on the even numbers. Look, if you've learned nothing else from this recap show, Rod's 2 for 2 on car number bets. So again, you just blindly tell, well, you shouldn't blindly tell anyone, as we've learned previously, Rod, but take into account Rod's educated guess on numbers because he's really fucking good at it.
Yeah, I that's what I said. I was like, I just know that a winning car, an even number is going to be a winning car. So we were happy for that. And yeah, Parker Kligerman had a shot at that too in the 48 at certain points in the in time. Yeah, there's a lot of even number cars that had a crack at this. So love it. I'll take it every single time. But all right, Cody, outrights, who did win this race? Jesse Love. We didn't have him. We had other people though.
Well, luckily we did have the Love Top Chevy, so that one cashed. But talk about sweats again, Rod. Betting on super speedways is worth it for the sweats. Riley Herbst at 14-1, second place. He was so close. He was almost there, Rod. Finishes in second place. I mean, you can't ask much more from a guy at 14-1, so you love that. Kligerman at 18-1. Look, he was up front a majority of the day. Gets caught up in one of the wrecks. It's Daga. That's what happens. Brandon Jones. I yet again decided I should bet on Brandon Jones for whatever stupid reason. I'm already trying to talk myself out of it. At Dover next week, he'll probably make the card anyways, Rod. But 33rd for him, getting caught up in a wreck like he usually does. And Jeff Earnhardt, 100-1. Again, I don't think we got a fair shake at seeing it with the engine issues. I was hoping, I brought it up, you know, he'd been in bad cars before. He's in the same Hunt car. It's only the one car. They put a lot of focus into it. Shouldn't have that issue. And then we have that issue. But at 100-1, hey. It's a long shot. And again, let me read you the top 10. Alfredo, Honeyman, Poole, Baccarella, Massey in 11th, Deegan in 12th. Like, 100-1 was not a bad bet in this race. Didn't hit the right one, obviously. And then Love wins it at shorter odds. But these guys were in this race at long odds, and that's what you take away from it.
It is what you take away from it. Speaking of what you take away with it, you take away the fact that Jeb Burton at 25-1. Look, here's the thing, too. Much like the Jordan Anderson bet, right? This was one of the ones where they start in the back, and you're like, how are they going to make their way to the front? How are they going to win this race? So Jeb Burton starts 35th. At the middle of the race, he was in 8th place. He was as high as 3rd place. And as we saw on Sunday, if you're in 3rd place, if something happens in front of you, you could very easily shoot up to 1st place and take the win too. His average running position was 14th, but still, when the pack is that tight, 14th, the difference between 1st and 14th is only not even a half of a second at some point. So you can make up that ground. And Jeb Burton was another one of those guys that was literally spending time just drafting, just running around. Probably he was at half throttle as well, just kind of waiting and picking his spots. He had 3 of the fastest laps. He spent 82 total laps, 66% of the race he spent inside of the top 15. This is a guy that was 25-1 to win this race. He had an opportunity at some points to do exactly that. He didn't lead any laps, but again, he was damn close. Started 35th, still ended up finishing 9th. After all the wackiness that ensued over the last few overtime laps. So a 9th place finish to be able to endure all of that, I mean, you got a hats off to Jeb Burton. And I'm happy that it ended up 9th place for him. I wish he would have won. But, Jeb Burton 25-1, I'd do it again.
Yeah, look at the people who were up here at the end of this race. He was up there throughout the day. They talked about him a ton on the broadcast. So it's a good bet. Not all good bets cash. That's how it goes. And again, you go into a super speedway expecting to lose it all. We hit a couple of big ones. We had the F1 66-1 to carry us into the weekend anyways. That's always helpful. Tribal Life saying he would rather bet Dick Trickle than Brandon Jones. RIP to Dick. If Dick Trickle was still around, out of principle, I would bet on Dick every single week. Also, Nick Fortune was checking in. Afternoon, gentlemen. Didn't cash in any bets, but thankfully soccer covered my losses. All in the Discord on SGPN. Hey, Discord's a great place. There's a lot more things than just NASCAR over there. Obviously, NASCAR place is the best part of the conversation by far. But there's a lot of other channels if you're into soccer or whatever weird shit Nick's always sending me that he's betting on in the middle of the night.
Pickleball, baby, let's go! All in on the pickleball bets. All right, well, Cody, that was
tuned in late. By the way, go back to the beginning, and if you want to hear me scream and yell and rant, because I had a little bit of a I had some things to get off my chest, Rod, and I feel better, and I think we should all stop complaining and be constructive and enjoy what we have and what we're given.
That's getting time stamped. That's all there is to it. I'm time stamping Cody's rant, and it's going to read Cody's rant. So
that's wonderful.
if you need to go back and listen again because you need to, you know, or maybe later in the week you're just like, I need it. So I need the Cody fix. Give it to me. I'll time.
Mr. Drunken Irish says it's well worth it.
I agree. I agree. All right, Cody. Well, then that was Talladega. Dude,
that's what happens when we don't get the recap in on Sunday night, Rod. We come back Monday. I had a whole day to stew and come up with all that. Gotta watch out.
I'm wondering if Sunday would have been even worse with the tempers running hot, but we'll see.
Yeah, it probably would have been actually. Although I've been up since like 5 a.m. this morning, so I was thinking about it all day.
But yeah, well, that's never good. That was my weekend, by the way. It was a lot of 5 a.m. mornings, so yeah. not thrilled about that.
Again, Rod, not making me miss the military.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus, no. I almost didn't miss the military, and I'm still in it, so we'll see. Anyway, Cody, let's let everybody know where they can find you as we start to wrap things up. That was Talladega. We'll go to Dover next. Obviously, we'll be back tomorrow.
Yes.
The Monster Mile, my friends, will be back with the Cup Series bets tomorrow, and then we'll break it down the rest of the week for you guys as well. So, Cody, where can they find you outside of this beautiful ranting area?
Yes, I'm excited, Rod. Excuse me, I don't have my voice from yelling. You can find me over on the X at Husker_Zeeb. My mock draft 2.0 is out. That's over there. Also, an article dropped this morning for best bet for the draft on Thursday. So make sure, again, there's like thousands of them. I was combing through a lot of bets, Rod. You can bet on a lot of stuff. So get in on the betting action over on the draft as well. I got an article over there with my best bets. And yeah, we'll be back tomorrow. Do it all over again with Dover. I'm excited. I already got a couple of drivers circled that I'm going to be looking for their odds. So get in the Discord. You might need to get on some of these ones early. We'll drop some hints over there. Be back tomorrow.
Cody's beat me to the dock today. No doubt about it. Follow me on Twitter.
That tonight, just throw some names in there.
Follow me on Twitter. I'll look for it, and I'll try to avoid your names. At RJ Villa Gomez. Link in the bottom. Everything I got going on, whether it's here, whether it's Sportsbook Review, whether it's In Between Media. Love all you guys. We'll be back with the Cup Series tomorrow. So until then, let's go racing and let it ride.